relationship, knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. Psalm 63, verse 1, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you, I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 63, verse 1. My, looky here, it's Thursday, this October the 8th, 2015. My name is Joey. So good to see you. I look forward to our time together each and every Thursday for Mark and friends. Yeah, I came across that psalm yesterday, just kind of studying through and kind of popped out at me. You, God, are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Beautiful, beautiful. Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh, I'll tell you what. God is on the move here at Great News Radio. He really is. Kate Freeman joined the Great News Radio family last week as the new director, or the first director, I should say, of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. And it was just announced just the other day that Myriad Offenstein joined the team here at Great News Radio as project manager of special events and marketing here at the radio ministry. God is truly on the move here at Great News Radio. And, you know, we've talked about the 2020 challenge many times before in the last several months. We're friends like you who get involved as we enter our 20th year of broadcasting here at the ministry with a gift of $20 a month for the next 20 months. Now, that enables us to continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus right here in our own backyard. Also, update some equipment, some maintenance stuff, but also work on special projects such as what God is doing right now here at Great News Radio. So consider getting involved today in the 2020 challenge. Again, it's a gift of $20 a month for the next 20 months, or you can just give a single one-time gift of $400 all at once. You can sign up at greatnewsradio.org, click on the 2020 Challenge banner, or if you just prefer to talk to a real-life person and do it over the phone, you can call Karen as well, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Hey, be sure to mark your calendar really quick for this Saturday, October 10th. Now, October 10th is a special day for our family, but we'll get to that here in a second. The Collingsworth family will be in concert at Crossroads Christian Church on North Vermilion in Danville, 6 p.m. That's Central Time. That's Illinois time. Tickets are still available. In fact, yesterday, Mark interviewed Phil Collingsworth on yesterday's program of Mark and Friends. If you missed it, go back and listen to it through the audio archives portion of our website. But yeah, I remember seeing the Collingsworth family. I think it was on In Touch with Charles Stanley, the TV edition. I tuned in and they were really good. So I think you'll be blessed this Saturday, October 10th, 6 p.m. at Crossroads Christian Church, 3613 North Vermilion in Danville. For more details, just call 217-841-3132. 217-841-3132. And coming up on Saturday, that same day, 10-10. That's a very special day for the Crow household because it was on October 10th, 2010, I proposed to my now wife, Aubrey, during a church service at their 10 a.m. service. Imagine that, 10-10-10 at the 10 a.m. service. And it took her 10 minutes to answer my question if she would marry me or not. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. But anyways, no, it was great. She was leading worship. I think I shared this a few times before. We were going to separate churches at the time. And in true fashion, she was on me like, when are you going to ask me? I'm ready to be your wife. It was so funny. You know, I kind of tease her about it now when she gets mad at me. But she was leading worship at her church. And I kind of set this up with her pastor at the time. And so after she led worship, the pastor went up, put his arm around her so she wouldn't go back to sit down. But he put his arm around her. She was on stage, just him and her. And he made a couple announcements, whatever it was. And he said, oh, by the way, are there any other announcements that I may be missing? And then I came in on the side door, all dressed up, looking all handsome. I said, yes, Pastor, I have an announcement. I got up on stage. I got down on one knee, and then Aubrey, when she first saw me, she just bawled and bawled and bawled. I think they were tears of joy, I think. I'm hoping they were. But I asked her to marry me. So that was on 10-10-10, October the 10th, 2010, at the 10 a.m. service. So, yeah, that's a special day for us in the Crow household. Well, coming up here in a few moments, you know, we know that we, as the church, are the body of Christ. Well, today we're going to be talking about one of those functions as the body of Christ, serving, how the Word of God calls us to serve all people, especially to those in the body of Christ. That's coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
Remember me in a Bible cracked and faded by the year. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer.
In professional basketball, any professional basketball fans listening today, I remember growing up watching the Chicago Bulls. I'll tell you what, they haven't been the same since Michael Jordan, unfortunately. But, you know, in professional basketball, there are two opposing teams on the court, right? But there's a third team on the court that's often overlooked. It's the officials. You know, the third team is unique because it is not loyal toward either team on the court. The allegiance of the officials is to another organization, the NBA. They have their own source of authority, the rule book that comes directly from the league office. This third team does not sit idly by during heated contests, but engages in the game to ensure that the wishes of the league come about. And like the officials in the NBA, the church, friend, is of a different kingdom. We too participate in a battle, but for the hearts of humankind and the restoration of God's created order. The church should not simply point out shortcomings nor blend in, but should do the work of being salt and light in the world for the good of all people, both inside and outside of the church. And today we're going to be talking about serving, because God's people serve all people, especially the family of God. So if you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to take a look at a couple of different passages today, but Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, I'll give you some time to get there. See, as God's people, we're called to work for the good of all, for both the world and the church alike. We work for the good of the world by fulfilling our role as salt and light, right? So that our good works will lead others to give glory to God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 tells us, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Caring for one another within the body of Christ is not a diversion from the mission of God. It's actually part of it. You know, our church does a great job of not only doing outreach, but also doing inreach. Because sometimes you can be so much of the outreach that you forget about the inreach, right? Or you could be so much about the inreach that you forget about the outreach. There's got to be a balance there. But the Word of God, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, that we ought to be doing good for all people. Make sure we're being little Jesuses to people, so to speak, right? Especially to those who are in the household of faith, those in the family of God, those within the body of Christ. You know, the compassion and care of the body of Christ serves as a real manifestation of God's love to the believer when it's difficult to sense God's presence. Have you ever been in a spiritual dry season? It's not fun. That's why it's important for other believers to encourage one another, be there, minister to one another. See, your care and support for another believer might be just what they need to re-energize their affections for the Lord. So God's people work for the good of all, especially those who are in Christ. Plus, we also work for the good of the world by being salt and light. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, Jesus explained the role of the believer on this earth, and he anchored his encouragement to the church with two significant word pictures, salt and light. Now, salt of the earth. You know, I hate to break it to you, but before the days that we live in here, back then, they didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have Mr. Kenmore. They didn't have the Maytag guy or anything like that. They didn't have refrigeration, right? So salt was used to preserve. They used to put salt on their fish and their meats and their food to help it from decaying. See, despite its brokenness, the world has not completely lost its original goodness, believe it or not. And the church is called to preserve and to develop the good that God embedded in it by working it, watching over it, and subduing it. And another common use of salt is to season, right? I mean, come on. I mean, when you go through the drive-thru of your favorite fast food place, you get the hot piping French fries, you got to add some salt on it. I mean, you got to. It's just going to taste like potatoes, right? See, the people of God are called to season the earth with the fragrance of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:15, by the way. God has given all of humanity a yearning for himself. We all, friend, have a God-sized hole in our heart that only he can fill. And all people long for a divine character trait such as justice and mercy to fill the earth. And as Christians, we are called little Christs, so to speak, right? The church has been given the responsibility and has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to manifest the attributes of God both inside the church and outside of the church. He's also called us to be the light of the world. This world's a dark world. Believe it or not, it's a dark world. And we ought to shine the light of Christ by our actions and what we choose to say and what we choose not to say and our behavior, our attitude. When we choose to let the Holy Spirit live and rule in our life like this fruit of the Spirit, right? We're shining the light of Christ in a dark, dark world. You know, where you work, most of us work in a secular job where people have nothing to do with Christ or they want to have nothing to do with church, but we can be that light, right? The light of the world. You know, here's the funny thing. Where you work, place where you work, the place where you go to school, it is not by coincidence. God has planted you there. Yes, you get a paycheck by going to work each and every day, but God has planted you there to be both salt and to be the light of Christ. Turn really quick to Acts chapter 2. And I believe it is in verse 43. Actually, let's look at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves. We're talking about the early church here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. You know, in verse 43, where it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You know what that means? The original language makes it clear that everyone, according to that verse, was not simply those who were believers, but the entire community was watching for evidence of the presence of God among his people. People outside of the church, those who know you as a believer in the Lord, they're watching you, friend. They're watching you. How you react. They're looking for as evidence of what you believe is actually true. So I want to encourage you today on this Thursday. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others. Let your light of Jesus, again, through your attitude, through your actions, and how you serve people, how you respond, the words you choose to say and what not to say, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
sees each tear that falls and the
tell you what, a beautiful, beautiful song. That's Tommy Walker, and He Knows My Name. That's our daughter's favorite song right there. Yeah, she sang that in church, I think, earlier this year. She just loves that song. So, Tommy Walker and He Knows My Name. And my looky here, I'm looking at the clock over there. It's telling me that our time is winding down. But I do appreciate just your time and your attention and the fellowship here today. Don't forget, Mark and Jason in the studio tomorrow, 7:32 a.m. Central Time. And be sure to make some time to be part of the Collingsworth concert this Saturday in Danville. For more details on that and other concerts and events, just visit our event calendar page, greatnewsradio.org, and just click on events. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.